Hello, community podcast listeners, and welcome to our latest installment of Community Hospitalist Podcast. Today, we're fortunate enough to have one of our PA students make it talk to us about novel anticoagulants, which is, I'm sure, a topic that you're interested in. And we also have Sarah Baxter, who's going to lend her expertise to the discussion, which I'm sure will be helpful. So, without further ado, I'm going to hand the mic over to Megan.
Hi, everyone. There's been a lot of different studies testing the effectiveness of new oral anticoagulants in preventing stroke in patients with atrial fibrillation. One of those studies was the Aristotle study, which compared apixaban, a new direct factor 10 inhibitor, against warfarin, which has been used for a long time to help prevent stroke. In this study, patients were randomized and double-blinded and given either apixaban 5 milligrams twice daily or warfarin at a target INR of 2.0 to 3.0. Then the researchers studied a primary outcome of ischemic or hemorrhagic stroke and secondary outcomes of bleeding. The results of the study showed that apixaban is superior to warfarin in the prevention of both ischemic and hemorrhagic stroke and showed less bleeding tendency against warfarin as well. In addition, apixaban showed a mortality benefit from warfarin in the long-term survival of AFib. Another study that was done in 2009, the RELY study, compared dabigatran versus warfarin. Dabigatran is an oral direct thrombin inhibitor. And in this study, the patients taking dabigatran were blinded, so they didn't know what drug they were getting, and they were given either 110 milligrams or 150 milligrams twice daily. And the patient population who received warfarin, they were unblinded, and they knew that they received the warfarin therapy for a target INR of 2 to 3.0 as well. Again, the primary outcome was ischemic or hemorrhagic stroke, and the results of this study showed that dabigatran at 110 milligrams had similar rates of embolism and stroke in AFib patients, but a decreased risk of bleeding, while the 150 milligrams showed lower stroke and embolization for AFib patients, but with similar bleeding tendencies as those given warfarin. Also, the dabigatran showed an increased incidence of myocardial infarction and increased incidence of GI bleed compared to warfarin. In a third study just conducted in September of 2011, the Rocket AF study, warfarin was then compared to rivaroxaban, another oral factor 10 inhibitor. This study was also double-blinded and randomized with a primary outcome of stroke, whether it be ischemic or hemorrhagic. In this study, the patients were either given rivaroxaban or warfarin. And the results showed that rivaroxaban was not inferior to warfarin in preventing stroke, but it was also not superior to it. And in addition, it didn't show any significant decrease in bleeding tendencies compared to warfarin. But it did show a decrease in fatal GI bleeds studies are important to medical practice because these new drugs can make a big impact on AFib patients throughout the United States. And I think it's important that we find a way to prevent stroke in AFib patients while decreasing bleeding tendencies, because patients who take warfarin are at high risk of bleeding. So we want to try and decrease that risk, and these drugs can help us do that for our patients.
What a nice review.
Very nice review.
Thank you, Megan. That was terrific. So there were three studies, two oral factor 10A inhibitors, apixaban in Aristotle, rivaroxaban in Rocket AF, and one oral direct thrombin inhibitor, dabigatran, in the RELY study. And each of the studies have different issues, but taken as a whole, I think, my takeaway is I think these novel anticoagulants are going to be important in future management. All of the studies, and I think this was the best thing, had a lower rate of intracranial hemorrhage. So I think that it brings up the question of whether there's something about warfarin or whether there's something about intracranial hemorrhage and warfarin that is a particular problem, or that these drugs would help, that these drugs would be able to help with, because I think in general, when I think in terms of the bleeding risk, I'm less concerned about GI bleeding, though I mean that can be associated with morbidity and sometimes even mortality, but I'm more concerned about the risk of intracranial hemorrhage, because obviously there's no reversal for intracranial hemorrhage. And so the main disadvantages that I've heard about with these drugs that people are concerned about is their short half-life means that if patients don't take the drug, they're not on anticoagulation, which I counter with their risk of stroke on any one day is relatively low. And I think so. I think in general, the benefits of the new drugs outweigh the risk. And also, in terms of no reversal agent, I tend to counter that Coumadin is not easily reversed. Sometimes it'll take me all day or 2 days to get enough FFP and vitamin K in somebody to reverse Coumadin. So the idea that Coumadin can be reversed and other agents can't, I think, is somewhat erroneous. And then lastly, I kind of feel like there's an emotional attachment to INR monitoring, both by patients and physicians, that people like to have a lab test to monitor things. And so I think that there's a lot of medical culture surrounding warfarin, and which may explain some reluctance about the new drugs. I think in general, I think these drugs rock. Apixaban has the mortality benefit, so that's great. The RELY study, dabigatran, did have a trend towards increased MIs. So I don't know if something will come out about that later, but I think in general, it wasn't statistically significant. So, you know, you always have to be careful about trends. Whereas apixaban had a mortality difference that was statistically significant. The dabigatran blinding wasn't quite as good. And rivaroxaban, the INR target, the folks in the percentage of people in their target INR was 50. I think mid-50s percent, whereas the other studies had target INR rates in the 60s. And I think the other thing that demonstrates is that's a study population, target INR, which is likely to be higher than a community setting target INR rate. In other words, patients in a study population with Coumadin are generally better managed than may be present in a community-based setting. So I think these drugs are great in general. I think what will be a challenge is how to manage them, how to manage the particular agents, and it'll complicate the discussion of should we place somebody on anticoagulation, and if so, which anticoagulant. So, Megan, I'll hand it back to you about any comments about any of those thoughts. I'm handing it back to Megan to see if she has any additional thoughts about the decision to start anticoagulants. Sorry, Sarah has thoughts.
My main concern with the new anticoagulants is the potential risk of bleeding with no reversal agent. And like you said, we're used to hanging on to the INR, monitoring it, and then, you know, if it's too high, we can give it 50 or vitamin K. So it may not even necessarily be a realistic difference if we take them off of these agents, you know.
The other thing that I was excited about is there was less fatal bleeding, particularly in the apixaban study. So if the concern is, hey, we don't have a reversal agent, well, less people died than on Coumadin, where you did have a reversal agent. So that would be one of the points that I would highlight. You know, so I'm like ecstatic about these new drugs. I actually think that, but in talking to patients, I think there's a reluctance to try a new drug. I think that cost is an issue, but I'm hopeful. I mean, currently only dabigatran's FDA approved for AFib. But as more drugs get approved, I'm hopeful that since there are more than one drugs, that competition between the drug manufacturers will drive the cost into a reasonable range for patients. So my final question, and everybody can weigh in, if you had AFib, now I have to tell my podcast listeners I'm with a young young women, so you have to take that into account in terms of the risk factors for bleeding. If you had AFib and were a candidate for anticoagulation, would you use a novel anticoagulant or Coumadin?
Question. I would probably, for me, just because of the history behind it, and I know it shows risk of bleeding, I might stick with what's been done for so long until there are more studies to specifically and prove and back up these studies that have been done. I would probably choose the warfarin just because of that issue. Newer anticoagulants aren't efficacious, but just that it's been used for so long, and so it's benefited many people, even though it has its side effects, but all drugs have their side effects.
I like that answer. Stay with the horse that's worked for you. Okay. I'm going to kick it over to Sarah Baxter to see what she would do. Maybe you are a bad example. Like maybe if your mom or grandma got AFib, you know, what would you advise them to take?
That is a really tough question, and I do like Megan's thoughts on that. For myself, I probably would try Pradaxa because I don't want to deal with going to a lab and getting my INR checked, and it's too high and it's too low and increase the dose. I'm on the go, and I have a lot to do, and I don't want to go to a lab, and I also don't like needles, so I would probably try Pradaxa. And why did I do? And I'd also like to point out that I'm under the age of 75, and the risk of bleeding. Somewhat lower for younger people, so I think I would probably try Pradaxa. If my grandmother needed anticoagulation and she's, 85, I might just give her Coumadin. She's sitting around anyway, so she can have a nurse draw her INR.
I'm sure Grammy's on the go. Okay, well, I would probably, my feeling is that a discussion should occur. There should be some patient preference, but if it were me, I would probably go on Pradaxa. And if one of my family members was on the fence, I would tell them to go on Dabigatran or one of the novel anticoagulants, just because I think for me, I think there's probably more GI bleeding, but I mean, well, there is with dabigatran, but the intracranial hemorrhage is always what I worry about, so intracranial hemorrhage trumps GI. So, in any event, any comments or questions in regards to this podcast? You can feel free to email me, dan.valancius, V-A-L-A-N-C-I-U-S, @gmail.com. I'd like to thank our guests here on the podcast, Megan, a PA student into sales, and then Sarah Baxter is one of our leading PA thinkers. Delighted to have both of them join us today. Thank you.